Yes, now, and welcome back to episode 111 of the Top Loader Podcast. And H, we're not talking about football this weekend, even though our special guest is probably going to speak about it. But how are you doing, my friend?
No, I think for the one of the first episodes in a while, we can ban football talk apart from obviously the special guest we have on today. But yeah, well, I think we're keeping hush about football the weekend. But otherwise, yes, not too bad. Thank you, Ron. Not too bad. How are you?
Yeah, I can't complain at all. Obviously, I will talk about football, just women's football. But like we say, before we introduce our very special guest, just a quick reminder of everyone that this episode is powered by Third Down Space, your number one spot for all your hobby essentials, from supplies to great preparation kits to custom stands to backdrops, match, you name it, they've got it. So if you head over to their page, use TTP10 at checkout, it will save you 10% off everything. But now introducing our very special guest ahead of a very busy weekend and realistically the restart again of car show seasons, the one, the only, Sports Cars UK. Dan, how are you doing, my friend?
I'm very well, thank you. Yeah, very, very well. If you guys aren't talking about football, I'd like to bring up the fact that Fulham did get a nice win over the weekend. So yeah. Mate, I'll just throw my 2 pence in there with a nice 2-0 win against West Ham.
Yeah. Any West Ham slanders is still accepted. And as we say, it's linked all the way. Any tossing thing might make his cars go up a little bit. That's fine by me as well. Lovely jubbly. Another good centre. But obviously, before we do talk cars, as ever, Fulham, it's very. I know you said a statistic just before we started talking about your home and away form. So how have you found it so far for Fulham this season?
It's been one of the strangest seasons probably we've ever had. We bring in Brozier because Muniz is not that great, and then as soon as we buy him, Muniz just turns into the next R9. We've beaten teams that we probably shouldn't have beaten, or we weren't expected to beat. We've had like 5-0 results against Forest and West Ham. We've had an amazing home record. We've had an awful away record. Last weekend was our third total win away from home. But it's been an absolute roller coaster. I've actually really enjoyed it. It'd be nice to finish above Chelsea, but I think they're currently playing as we're talking at the minute, and they seem to be doing pretty well. So maybe that might not happen, but yeah, at least we'll finish above Brentford, I think.
Yeah, like I say, I think with obviously Tottenham being in the hobby, it's always easier to watch along when you have a bit more of attachment to it. But obviously for Arsenal fans, it's not. But I've got to say, it's been quite, especially with Muniz, I remember having him in my fantasy and got absolutely ridiculed. I also ridiculed when he was playing against Spurs and obviously done the business over them, captain. But was you quite surprised not to see certain few of your players in the Prism checklist? Because it was a very weird checklist for you. Like, obviously, tossing the main man himself, not being in it. But I know you obviously collect one of the older sets and trying to go for the complete, like, master set of that. So have you taken as much interest in the more recent stuff, or is it still focusing on that complete rainbow to begin with?
Yeah, so I think they missed Tosin out because of injury. So I think they did kind of stick to their guns. I don't think... Maybe Panini don't actually know he's into the hobby. They do seem a little bit old money, and they're not that great innovation wise. Sorry to sort of slag Panini on your podcast, but
it's only been here 10 minutes.
But tops in comparison seem like they're a lot more aware of what's going on in terms of the social media side of things, and in terms of the culture and what's going on as a hobby. But yeah, I think they did kind of stick to their guns because he was injured and out for a lot of the season. They included some other players. Obviously, Muniz hasn't got a rookie card yet. But players like Bassi was a nice addition to have in the new set. And then we had some of the younger players as well. I think we've only got one rookie, I think, in the newest set. So not a whole lot in terms of rookies, but we've had some strange rookies before where we've had Dennis Adoy as a rookie and kind of Michael Hector and players that haven't really kind of come on or done much. Most of actually the rookies that we had in the 2020 set, which is the Collect the Ice set, actually don't play for us anymore. I think Harrison Reed and Anthony Robinson were a rookie, and we've still got them.
I was going to say, just touch on that. Anthony Robinson must be a player that obviously has received a lot of praise this season. being American as well, obviously in the spotlight. So you must have, is his card harder to pick up in that set in comparison?
Oh.
I would actually say in general that it must be a bit harder about a few years on because people probably just have them sitting around and don't even list them up to begin with.
Yeah, absolutely. I genuinely will go out there on the record and I'll say that he's been the best left back in the league this season.
Yeah.
I don't actually think that many people can deny that because Chilwell's been, well, Chilwell.
Yeah.
Luke Shaw's been out injured. Andy Robertson has been okay. But again, I think he's been, potentially, has he been injured? I haven't really watched a lot of Liverpool.
I think he's been injured. Or so, I think, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I think he's got the most assists this season already, Anthony Robinson, of any Premier League player. I think it was actually of any English League player.
Yeah.
I might be wrong with that. But yeah, really, really happy with how he's performed. I'm still kind of collecting the 2020 set. I've been going a little bit mad on Card Hobby recently. I've got 4 one-of-ones now. So I'm kind of thinking about trying to get a one-of-one team set, but I think trying to chase that is going to be pretty difficult, to be honest. I think I'm maybe setting my sights too high with that one, but I'm doing well. I'm collecting every single parallel, so I'm doing team sets. A lot of the low numbered ones I've done, I've done teal to 49. I've done I finished blue cracked eyes to 75 recently. I've got quite a few golds going on now, but it's some of the harder ones are the animal print. So they had a tiger print that year. I've only got like 2 of them. Gold vinyl is a really difficult one to pick up, which are numbered to 5. Blue shimmer as well, which are numbered to 8, are really hard to pick up. But yeah, I've decided to stick with that one because it's 2020 is the first year that Fulham are actually in a Panini Prism set for the Premier League. I know there was a 2019-20 set, but unfortunately we were in the Championship for that season. But yeah, so it's nice to kind of go after the first set. And then I've kind of got so many cards from that now, I've just decided that that's it. And I've had to be quite disciplined. So I'm sticking with that. Although I've got a few cards from the new set, I have decided to stick with that.
Discipline is needed, especially now with the amount of cards each player gets in different sets. Like, I could only imagine trying to piece that together over a 4-year period. Imagine to start like the new ones as well with even more parallels and check. We're not know where to start anymore. Is there a card? Obviously, like you say, you've got 4 one-of-ones, which is very impressive as it is. Has there been a certain card, what you've got so far, that you've actually got to be like, that's been the hardest one to attain? Or is it in general like the lower prints, maybe like the golds and stuff like that?
Yeah, so to give you an idea, I'll just pull up Card Hobby quickly here. I picked up a Dennis Odoi 1-of-1 black breakaway, which was actually at Mark's show in Sports Card Social. I just took a break and ran to the car, and I had to get out of the show and just be like, right, I need 5 minutes just to bid on this. No one interrupts me. And I picked that up for like $50. And then I said the gold vinyls are so difficult to get that I ended up spending almost 3 times that on a card that's numbered to 5 of Niskin's Cabano. Was like $150. So I don't know what it is about. I mean, it might be something to do with China. They love gold vinyls. But yeah, I had to have it because it's one of those cards that it would just, unfortunately, they're never going to pop up again. So you end up overspending on certain cards just to get them in the binder. But yeah, that was a little bit tricky. And Anthony Robinson, as you said, is becoming harder to pick up now because it's his rookie and he's US men's national team. So yeah, a little bit tricky. I love the fact that he's performing well, but I don't love the fact that his card prices have actually gone up a little bit. And I wish he was, I wish his dad wasn't from Brooklyn or wherever his dad's from, because I think he was born in Milton Keynes. So he should be playing for England. We need a left back as well. I wish he'd have picked England over the US, but he might have actually, he probably picked the US to get game time. And now he would have played for us in the Euros at the minute. He'd probably been first choice. We're looking for a left back at the minute. He's actually left footed as well. So
I was gonna say it's like incredible. Like I remember obviously following it over on your YouTube, all the times you're picking up different ones. Have you ever considered delving into any other set, or is it just about like you saying discipline that rather than like tie up money in other collections or other sets that you feel like I might as well just keep that other bit open just for the prism because it's going to be more rewarding in the long run looking through the binder at all the different cards in comparison to like a revolution here or an impeccable there.
Yeah, I tend to try and pick up some sets that I see at card shows where there's not other Fulham fans. So we've actually recently created a Fulham group where we're all messaging each other whether we're bidding on certain cards so that we're not kind of outbidding each other and things like that, and we're making it cheaper. We're also sort of doing trades and other bits and pieces. If I'm at a show and none of the other guys are, I'll take a picture of a card and say, does anyone need this one? And then they'll just message me and I'll pick it up and then ship it to them. So actually it's become a lot easier to kind of pick up cards through some really recent friends that I found in the hobby, which is really, really good. So shout out to all of those guys. But I have decided to delve a little bit into the 2021 Tiger Prism set. So I've got a couple of cards. I just like the design, so I wanted to try and do the team set for that. And I'm trying to pick up the old Luke Harris card here and there. Some of the guys in the Fulham group are doing the new set, so I don't want to kind of step on anyone's toes. But if I do see any nice Luke Harris cards, he's at Exeter at the minute in League One on loan, but he's a good little player. I think he's going to be decent. He's one of our kind of academy picks. I think that we've got quite a good academy. We've had some decent players come out of the academy. Harvey Elliott, Carvalho recently. So I'm confident that Luke Harris might be a little gem, and he's cheap at the minute. So although now this is going out on a global podcast, I just ruined it for us all. Cut.
Bleep it out.
Yeah.
We'll just dub someone else's name over it. It's fine. We'll just stick Alex Iwobi's name there. Because I want a Iwobi card. No, we're not doing a Iwobi. But as I said, there's another player as well who's been doing very well out on loan, who's actually at Fulham. Obviously, Jay Stansfield as well at Birmingham. So looks a very good talent up front. Obviously, likewise, was at Exeter as well the season prior. Obviously, now looks like maybe next season would be his season where he does get rookies. That could be an intriguing one because like a young English striker, obviously with heritage in the Football League, for people who don't know, like his dad's story, it's fascinating. But that could be quite an interesting one for Fulham. Like next, or maybe they could sneak him into a revolution or something like this year, because Revolution has them weird rookies that just get one card and one card only.
Yeah. I mean, or Chronicles, something like that. Yeah. I mean, Tosin had cards in Chronicles, and then that was it really. And then I think he had some. Well, maybe is that it?
Rookie wise, I think it might.
I don't think he had a rookie. I don't think they actually gave him a rookie. But I think, I think his cards are in Chronicles from memory.
Yeah.
They might do a Chronicles of him. But I've watched some of him a little bit, and I've watched some of him was it the under 21s or the under 20s? He was playing in the England squad. Yeah, I mean, I can't wait to have him back. He's ridiculous, insane player.
As I say, we're not going to give away all the secrets of Fulham, but I feel like I'm on a podcast here talking about it. So I'm going to hand over to my lovely set. I've got to talk about your, so far of YouTube and obviously delving into new bits as well. But H, over to you to talk all things YouTube, which is always fun and games.
It is. I mean, I was looking up, Palmer's now scored 4. So I think he's carrying Chelsea to 3 points. But obviously, Dan, I think we can probably all sit here and say that arguably you are one of, if not the probably front runner in terms of content creation and the content you provide out there on YouTube or wherever it may be, obviously, in terms of content for the UK hobby. In terms of your opinion, I think, how much do you feel like it's progressed over the last, 6 months, 12 months, 2 years, since obviously that the hobby has started sort of increasing in size, in terms of the actual quality of the content over however long, with obviously the constant card shows now obviously during the year, and how much sort of opportunity there is to create content within the hobby now as well?
Yeah, massively so. I think one thing, I obviously can't take that title, by the way, at the start. Let's just get that out of the way. But one thing that I've definitely noticed is it's become a lot easier to make content because of other people. I think other people massively help with being comfortable on camera. I feel like people are less weird now about me. If I kind of walked around with a camera at the original London Card Show when it was in Kingston or close by, Tolworth, I think it was, basically Kingston. If I had walked around with a camera kind of doing a selfie like this, everyone would have looked at me or someone would have slapped the phone out of my hand. The hobby's still full of lovely people, but people have been like, what is he doing? He looks like an absolute idiot. But now if I did that, I think people would just think it's somewhat normal. Obviously, there's still going to be people that don't like content creators or whatever you want to call it. But yeah, there's a lot more people that are wanting to create content now that you can collaborate with. I feel a lot more comfortable than I used to. And then like ahead of CardCon, you've got like Jason saying, I'll come find you and help film and like stuff like that. Just like people are wanting to help me film. People are wanting to be in videos. People want to collaborate. I get invited onto lovely podcasts like this one. You know,
like, I'm waiting for that.
Yeah, I think it's been made a lot easier through other people. And I think that definitely involves shows as well. So shows have got a lot more. They've got bigger, obviously. We're seeing shows all around the world now. So this, I'm going to the National this year, so I get to go abroad, which is something that I'm really grateful and really thankful for. There's places like Frankfurt I probably never would have been to if I had not have been in this hobby. And suddenly I'm going to Frankfurt, I'm going to Munich. I was due to go to Copenhagen at one point as well, but I actually fell sick the morning of the flight, so that went a bit downhill. But yeah, I internationally card shows are becoming really great to go to. Grading has kind of become a lot more easier. There are downsides to that in terms of we do feel like we're in a bit of a junk slab market at the minute, but yeah, I definitely think through the growth of the hobby and through more people coming into the hobby, and YouTube being kind of more as a accepted as kind of, oh, it's okay, Dan just kind of makes content because he enjoys it, and more people are kind of happy to be in videos and are confident to come up to me sometimes and say that they like the videos and things like that, which makes my day. But yeah, I've just got everyone, I feel like I've got everyone else to thank really, because it's become maybe not effortless but a lot easier.
Yeah, definitely. I think, you know, you've hit the nail on the head there, where I think it's become more of the norm to see someone making content, making videos, doing whatever it may be at card shows, wherever you are, at Kaboom Trade Nights, whatever it is. You've seen it's becoming so much more the norm for people to want to be involved, people to want to help out, want to do videos with you, you know, whatever it is, people want to be involved more now. And people look to YouTube to see card shows that they couldn't get to see PSA grade reveals, to see people completing binders, whatever it is that, you know, they've got kids or little ones that want to watch these videos, or, you know, for us as well that want to watch these videos, where it's such a massive outlet for people that can't get to some events, some shows, whatever it is, that they can resort back to YouTube, to Instagram, wherever, to watch the content that people put out there. But I think whether you'd agree with this or not, but it's also about having that sparse variety as well, whether that be card shows, grade reveals, pickups, whatever it is, there's so much more you have to cover, or there's so much of a span you have to look to cover to constantly keep providing different content and content that people want to watch. Would you say that's probably about right?
Yeah, I think for me, definitely I've switched over in terms of I maybe used to talk about investing in cards a little bit more, because I think maybe that would get some views, extra views and things like that. And I understood that potentially switching and moving just purely towards a kind of collecting standpoint, and even if it's not about cards, these are just showing people what I collect. And I thought that sort of content shift was actually going to maybe diminish some views, and it might kind of, I might lose a few people, but actually it's been quite good. I've seen actually more people kind of comment and say nice things about, well, actually you're kind of showing more so the hobby side than the kind of the investment side, which I think recently there's been a lot of kind of news around people that are maybe just in it for the money and things like that. And I definitely feel like the content's been less pressured, and it's almost just, it feels a little bit more natural when I'm kind of just talking about things that I collect, because I'm genuinely kind of passionate. And I think if you can put your passion and you can put your genuine interests into content, then it becomes a lot easier. You're talking about stuff that, even if you don't know everything about it, you're talking about it as, look, I bought this because it's my collection. So technically, it doesn't matter how much I paid for it. I could get absolutely ripped off, but the point is I'm happy and I've bought it for X, Y, whatever reason.
I think that's really what showed, obviously, again, more in the actual. I don't think genuinity. I don't know the word, but it's in terms of the way the content you create is so much more genuine, so much more passionate. And people understand that through the video that, arguably, I think in the way people chose to invest, or people saying, "Oh, buy X, buy Y, buy Z," I feel like has decreased over the last 6 to 12 months. People aren't pushing it out there as much, saying, "Oh, yeah, invest in Pedri, invest in Bellingham, whoever," and not in that's a bad market, but the capacity of that market, I think, has depreciated over the course of the last 6 to 12 months. And the more people are putting their passionate, their energy, their enthusiasm into what they physically they want to produce, they want to show content of, and it shows in that, because people are more interested because you have an actual passion for Fulham, for the card that you're collecting, for example, rather than, "Oh yeah, if you buy Bellingham in 6 months' time, this will happen, that will happen," which for some people, again, people want to watch that. But I think for me, it's like, yourself, Packwit, Jack, El Toro, whoever it is that have a genuine passion for what the videos they're making, it shows, and more people want to watch that sort of content.
Yeah, definitely. I think even with like take the Fulham 2020 stuff, I will never ever, well, I'll never ever sell it. But also, I know I'm paying far too much for these cards. And because I'm never going to sell it, I'm literally throwing money at a wall and then picking up a binder every now and then and going, oh, look at all these nice shiny cards. I mean, it sounds ridiculous when you think about it, but everyone collects something. Women collect some, actually, that was going to be a generality there. Some women collect handbags. Some men might be a video game collector. They might be sports memorabilia. My uncle has loads of sort of autographs and shirts and things like that, and that's his thing. Some people collect coins, stamps, whatever. But people put money into these collectibles and not expect to get anything back, and that's exactly what's my Fulham PC is. It's priceless, but it was also pricey. But also, I don't think that people are. I think people might be like, "You spent 150 quid on Nice Skins Gabbano. What are you doing?" Like, it doesn't even play for Fulham anymore. And I go, "Yeah, I know, but I'm still playing Football Manager 2020, so he's still in my team." But I haven't bought the new one because I don't want to spend 40 quid. Instead, I want to spend 150 on a piece of cardboard. But yeah, I've become tight in some areas just so I can
That
buy.
is what the hobby does to you.
Yeah, literally. Yeah,
So, no, I don't
I'm
need
tight in everything
the
apart from buying
t-shirt,
covers.
but I need a Tiger Prism from whenever it was.
Yeah, exactly.
But yeah, I'll pass it back to Ronnie now, so for the next little interlude.
Yeah, I was gonna say, I think just tagging on the back of that, and we can tell by one of your latest videos, which I thought was a very intriguing one. And you promised it at the beginning. Like, I don't think this would do any well. I don't know if anyone's gonna watch, but it was about obviously one of your side collections as well. It's not really even a side collection anymore, because how big it's getting and how good it is, but it's actually around Nintendo as well. Obviously, what made you even, because obviously being the sports background side of it, to just go, you know what, let's show off something else, because it's like you say, it's very intriguing. And I always think, no doubt, I think it's the same with you. I know El Toro said it before on here, that it's not always about what you have, but it's educating the other people of what there is out there as well. So was that part of your mindset as well, about putting other content out, not just sports cards related?
Yeah, I mean, I kind of just I threw it out there because I had a little bit of a gap between planned content, in that I had it. There was a gap between card shows. I filmed a video discussing the sports card social card show, which was I think was the latest one that we've just had, or that I went to at least. And then I knew there was going to be a sort of 2-3 week gap between that and the London card show. And I just in the background happened to pick up a couple of Nintendo related items. I'm a big fan of Nintendo. I kind of grew up with a GameCube, and then sort of went to the Wii, and then picked up a Nintendo Switch as soon as it came out, and sort of have been playing it ever since, and since being single, I've been playing it a lot more because without a girlfriend, what else are you going to do? I don't answer that. Play Nintendo Switch is the answer. But yeah, so I've been kind of exploring that in terms of collectibles and things surrounding that. And I saw a couple of comics online. I don't even know how I came across it, to be honest with you. I think I literally just saw it on eBay. And I was like, right, this is going to be my next collection, because Card Hobby was dying down a little bit on Fulham 2020 Prism. I had a really good couple of months, and now it's like one item a week that they're uploading, and it's probably something that I've already got. So I feel like I might have cleared China out of the 2020 Fulham Prisms by now. but if anyone has got one, I'm putting this this notice out. If you have got some 2020 Fulham Prism, get at me. Shameless plug, sorry about that. I've been picking up some Nintendo comics. Sorry, this was the longest answer ever, and I don't mean to keep you, but yeah, I've been picking up some Nintendo comics, so I decided to speak about that. There's not a hell of a lot to go after, probably about max 50 of all of the Nintendo comics from 1990 to 1991. There is two or three prints. I've just decided to go for the second print because it's cheapest for now, and then if I decide to go back and get the first print, then I might. But yeah,
I was gonna say, like, you know, there's a few of them that you've got have been graded already, but obviously it's very different card grading to comic grading. Obviously the slabs are a lot bigger. Good luck with storing them wherever you're going to store that, because you're going to need a big case for them. But have you, like, when been doing your research, obviously buying it raw, so to speak, and then potentially grade, how different is it, like the comic grading to the actual card grade? Because I can only imagine there's so much more to it, because whereas a card, you can get like the fading on it, but should be a lot more common, I suppose, with the comics. And what they're made out of is not meant to be durable at all. It's not meant to last that long. No. It's meant to be open, pulled apart, and then just discarded and got rid of, really.
Yeah, and it's genuinely quite impressive how many high grades there are from comics that come back from 1990, where I don't know if comic grading was a thing back then. I think PSA opened up in 1991, so probably not. If these comics go back to kind of 1990. But I'm grading them with CGC at the minute, who seem to be the kind of the forefront of comic grading. So it's nice to have one grader that's pretty much recognized as they're the people to go to if you've got comics, because then it makes there's no kind of choice that you have to make in terms of who to grade with. But yeah, a lot of it is done on kind of corners, edges, how the pages are, if they're all intact, if there's kind of any discoloring, if there's any marks, stains, anything along those lines. So yeah, they are quite tough to grade. There are a few kind of 9.8s that are out there of some of the ones that I've been picking up recently that are quite pricey, but yeah, I'm not too worried. I'm maybe not too worried about what grade they come back as. The recent ones that I picked up, the guy did give me a load of pre-grades, which was quite nice. So we'll see if they do get those and if I've handled them correctly. But I plan to send them off at the London Card Show, so I'm going to take them with me, and then I think I'm going to use Subcenter, I think, is it?
Yeah,
I'm going to use them. I think CGC are there, but I've already messaged Subcenter now. It's telling them that I'm going to grade with them, so I'm going to have to go with them now. I've made my bed. I'm going to have to lie in
there. Yeah, just to say, you said it now. So once you say, you've got to stick by it.
He's already collecting his money.
They could literally be next to you. They could be on the stand next to you at CardCon. Sorry, I can't give them to you directly. I've got to go over there first, and then they're going to walk over and give it to you. That's what's going to happen. But
yeah, I quite like supporting the businesses within the hobby anyway. So yeah, I'd rather send it to them.
I was going to say as well, have you ever thought about, obviously, like you say, with Nintendo, delving into like the great, I know that I'm not known too much about it, but I've seen quite a few of them at London card shows and other shows of graded games as well. So if you ever, I would no doubt, like, some of the older Nintendo stuff is an absolute fortune, but have you ever looked into potentially buying a graded game, or even just like a game to have? Because some of the artwork from like the 80s and 90s of the Nintendo stuff is beautiful. So have you ever, or is that going to be another like wormhole? Once you get into it, you're like, oh, do I really want to step foot in that one? Because it could be not just expensive, but very dangerous.
Yeah, it's already too late, mate. I've already got one. It's not Nintendo, actually. It's it's down there, but it's FIFA Street. It's the original FIFA Street on.
Oh,
it's on Xbox.
what
I had it on
a
GameCube,
game.
I think. But yeah, I absolutely loved FIFA Street. I've got some really fond memories of playing FIFA Street with my younger brother at my old house that we used to live in for 18 years. So yeah, FIFA Street, Ronaldinho,
A game and a half.
total 90 days.
Oh.
They were the ones.
Just flicking up, rainbow flicking in and volleying it from in your own goal area. Oh. Oh.
Yeah, and that's graded by a company called Wotter, which I think are now owned by, I think PSA bought them recently. So yeah, you can. It's a similar situation with PSA. I think you've got to send it to America. I think there's one called VGA or VG something.
Yeah, it's out of London. Yeah.
Yeah, which are the UK ones, but I think Wotter tends to be the kind of the preferred amongst global collectors.
Yeah, so obviously you before last one about obviously YouTube, obviously you said in that one you weren't too sure, you weren't gonna sure if you was gonna do another video on Nintendo or obviously. So after like feedback that you may have received, is it something that you're gonna continue doing, showing off when you do have bits right? But even like constant tuning it within a mail day, like it's got, I think a lot of people now are quite intrigued to see when more stuff arrives, what you do get, because I think that's what everyone loves. You see it and you're like, oh, I wanna know more now. And when you don't get them more, you're a bit like, oh, where is it? I want it.
Yeah, I got a real sort of positive boost in that from the feedback that I got. So, yeah, thank you to everyone that sent me nice messages. There were some really nice messages. Some people commented on the YouTube video, which I was very grateful for, and then other people just messaged me directly. And I had people message me saying that they didn't even collect Nintendo, but they had other collections, and I was asking them about what they collected. Sometimes it was completely irrelevant. It was about manga or comics or video games or whichever. But it was really interesting to hear. And I spoke to Jason El Toro recently. I know he's particularly into League of Legends cards, and he was kind of asking before I put the video out in about the kind of the comics and Nintendo related items. He was like, oh, I'm not sure if anyone's gonna watch this or if anyone's gonna be interested in it, because I always talk about sports cards. And I did say to him, my advice was I would listen to anything that you put out that you're genuinely passionate about. And I know he's picking up so many cards recently, and he knows everything about it. And I said to him, I don't know anything about League of Legends. I've never played it. I've never watched it. I don't know who's in the league. I don't know what the league's called. I don't know a single player. But I would love to watch a video where you passionately talk about that. And even if it's something I decide I'm not going to get into later, I would definitely watch it. And I think, without kind of tooting my own horn, I think some of that advice that I gave to him has actually worked when I kind of put my video out, and I got some really, really nice positive feedback from that. So yeah, I was really, really happy. I was kind of a little bit like apprehensive about putting it out initially, but since doing it, I'm like, well, do you know what? I'm not in this for the views anyway. If I was in it for making money, I would have left ages ago, because I haven't made any. But you know, like, I really enjoyed putting out the video, and then when you get nice positive feedback, it's such a bonus at the end of it.
I was going to say, like, we see it a lot with as well with your vlogs around the car shows, which I find fascinating. And I don't think we could have gone an episode without mentioning the Dublin car show. And obviously, not just the custom Guinness glass that you've got from the storehouse, but
Oh,
it
yeah.
looked an absolute incredible show. Obviously, if anyone's ever been Dublin anyway, it is an unbelievable crack, the city. It's good fun. But coinciding that within a car show must have been a great laugh.
Yeah, I definitely would recommend going international if you're from the UK. Going to Munich, going to Frankfurt, going to Dublin have been some of the best experiences I've had in life, let alone just going to kind of a card show. It's so nice to actually have a city break and learn more about a city that you may not have been to, or see sights with new friends. A lot of people don't necessarily go on holiday with card mates unless they've been mates before kind of the hobby days. So it's nice to go away with collectors, and to have a kind of a different conversation than I would if I went out with my sort of friends from home and things like that. So it's nice to kind of share a drink with everyone. Yeah, it was quite a messy one, but yeah, but it was very good. And the card show was excellent as well. But I was very surprised at how well that was put together and how organized that was. Some of the cards in the room as well were decent. It's nice to see some different cards from different collectors.
Yeah.
But yeah,
just tapping on that one. In your video, you did quite funny. There was a quote, I remember, and I was going to bring it up here. You went, "Everyone else has come to Ireland selling their Irish cards, but I've come here and picked up Irish cards." Yeah. So that was quite intriguing. I was thinking about it. Logically, most people would take all their Irish cards with them and try and palm them off while they're there. But you actually come back with more. But like I say, that's what I think a lot of people don't realise as well, is certain cards have a story attached to them. And when you'd be like, "I've actually bought this Irish card at an Irish card show in Ireland," like, it's just, it's like we said before, you don't buy cards always. All right, sometimes you do buy cards to try and flip, but sometimes it's the story that goes with it is more valuable than the actual card. And no doubt, I think you agree that you probably look back on them cards at any point and go, "I remember that show where I bought it," and then it always will have that storyline attached to it.
Yeah, and I think the cards that I did pick up were quite meaningful to me, because my second name's Keane, which is an Irish second name, and then I picked up some Robbie Keane cards. Typically, Roy Keane has been my PC, but I ended up picking up 4 nobility cards of Keane that day. That I was like, right, I'm just going to go for the rainbow now. I didn't really have a plan of what I wanted to buy going in, other than Fulham Prism, which is what I'm always looking for. But it's quite tough to find now in terms of cards that I do need. But yeah, I would highly recommend, if you're going to a country, definitely take players that play for that country's international team. If you're going to Germany, definitely take German players, because they will pay up for them. And then I did actually sell my Irish cards. So the Irish cards that I did take, all of them went. So I was successful in terms of the cards that I did sell, but in terms of picking it up, don't buy German cards in Germany and don't buy Irish cards in Ireland. You're going to pay the maximum amount for them. But thankfully, the ones that I did pick up, I picked up a couple in a trade with Jason, actually. So it was Irish cards for Irish cards. I think I gave him a Seamus Coleman auto and a Shea Given swatch. So,
oh, lovely. But like you say, I think the last one to talk about, obviously you said you are heading to the Nationals this year, which is going to be, no doubt, you're probably going to look through about 4,000 tables or whatever silly amount they have there for the one table that's going to have one Fulham Prism card on it. That is probably going to flick through, because they're just like, "Oh, these are just old Prism cards." It's going to be a needle in a haystack, but I've got a feeling that the video going along with it of, "I finally find one of my Fulham cards in a flick through at the Nationals," it's going to be quite intriguing to watch. But then again, it's got to be exciting to be looking forward to the biggest show of them all.
I can't wait. Yeah, you've given me an idea, actually. What I might do is I might print a t-shirt that says, like, "Show me your Fulham 2020 Prism," and then just wear that around the National. Yeah. And then people can come find me then. That might be a good idea. Because I'm worried about, I definitely want to do that.
"Find Michael Jordan rookie, here's me." And then you'd be like, "Find me anyone. I don't care, just any Fulham player."
People have been like, "I've been trying to get rid of those for ages." Well, they'll be like, "I've got this Anthony Robinson here, number to 49. It's $500. I'll be like, "Oh, yeah, brilliant. Of course
and
it is.
Is this the Anthony Robinson right. one of one? Yeah? In America?" Yeah. Yes.
Mate, I probably would buy it. I'll pay silly amounts for it as well. If that comes up, I will overpay. But yeah, no, I think it's going to be, I'll be honest, I'm really worried about it, which probably isn't the response that you're expecting to get. But I know I'm going to be super overwhelmed, because a guy from England, where the shows are small, a big now for us, but small in comparison, I think I'm not sure I'm quite ready for it yet. But with flick flues, the flick throughs, I reckon that I'm barely even going to get a chance to get through them. But I know Fanatics are doing an event in August, not so long after, so maybe the National might not be as busy as it was last year. Maybe it'd be even busier. I know a lot of people aren't going because it's Cleveland, and they're probably going to go back to Chicago, which favors a few more people in terms of surrounding area. But yeah, I mean, I can't complain. I'm extremely excited for it, but just very almost overwhelmed in already about what's gonna come. But I can't promise I'm going to make content, because I feel like I'm just going to be like shitting a brick the whole, sorry for swearing, sorry for cussing. I'm going to be shitting a brick the whole time I'm walking around, in terms of being slightly overwhelmed about how big the place is. But hopefully I'll, And I'm also putting myself under a lot of pressure as well, because I think people expect an amazing video to come out of the National, but we'll see. Hopefully. Fingers crossed.
So we're
it might just be one of my messy vlogs where just anything that happens and then people just laugh at me and I become a court jester of sorts. But
no, I can see already. Sports Cars UK tries American candy. It's going to happen. We know.
Oh, that's a great idea.
Yeah, there we go. The episode's done. Just have all your Fulham prison cards out in front of it. It's that perfect. All done. This part and parcel. But like I say, I think the next few months obviously going to be intriguing now with quite a few European and UK card shows, obviously the Nationals as well. But like I say, I think everyone can't wait to see your content. Massive thank you for joining us. But how many shows have you got confirmed so far that you will be attending for people to look out for and come over and have a word?
Not many. Probably I should have a lot more, but I'll be honest, I haven't really been keeping my ear to the ground that much. Been busy with a lot of stuff, kind of work related and other bits and pieces, but I'm sort of back on track a little bit now. But the next show I'm going to is CardCon, obviously it's this weekend at the time of recording. And then London Card Show, I'll definitely be at, vending both days in, I believe so, in May. After that, I'm not so sure. I believe the Yorkshire Car... I'm going to miss the Yorkshire Car Show again, I think, because I'm busy that weekend and I've got a kind of a busy two-day, you know, one of those trade shows for work, which I'm not looking forward to that week. I'm sure no one from work is watching, but, you know, they are.
Let's hope for anyway.
So it's going to be... That week's going to be a horrific week, but... unfortunately, I'm going to miss the Yorkshire Card Show, which is really annoying, actually, because I still am yet to have been to one. I hear a lot of good things about that. So shout out to that show. I will get to one day. But it's just those two and the National, obviously, in July. But my diary is very much open for kind of October, November, December. I'm hoping to get to a German show because the German shows tend to be kind of later in the year. Munich and Frankfurt definitely was kind of October, November. For each show. So, and I think there was a Dusseldorf one like the week before Christmas last year as well. So if I can get anywhere, like there's a couple of stuff that's Milan's coming up next week or sometime soon. Paris is coming up as well in the calendar this year. I think it hasn't yet gone ahead. So I don't think I'll go to those two, but I definitely want to go to another European show because I haven't been to one this year.
Like I said, we can't wait to see you there. And obviously, me and Harry and everyone listening on, wish you all the best with the content and all the shows. We look forward to whatever the next video is. It's always definitely, I think, whenever we see it, it's watch later and then wherever it is. I'm normally at work at lunch. That's where I normally crack up. But like I say, a massive thanks for joining us. And, well, I look forward to seeing you this weekend. And no doubt, me and Harry will be seeing you at London Card Show.
Legend. Well, thank you very much for having me on. Sorry I ramble on a little bit, but...
That's all right, we've been doing it for 111 episodes. It's fine. But like I say,
it's been good chatting to you both. So I'll come on anytime.
Like I say, you're always more than welcome to come on. I'll definitely start getting a lot more people on. And H, any closing messages from you, my good friend?
No, I think we're pretty much all covered up, mate. I think we've all covered up. Obviously, it's been great to have Dan back on again. You know, always an absolute pleasure. So we've got a busy couple of weeks lined up. I think we'll see Kenning now, we'll see up to London Car Show again. So yeah, hopefully we've got a lot more to bring to you guys obviously the next coming weeks. So yeah, looking forward to it.
Yeah, like I said, we've got a big few episodes planned. Obviously, we're only about 3 weeks away somehow from the London Car Show special. It's done it again, it's crept up, but it's coming around. But we've got some good guests lined up. We've got the guys from Gorilla Breaks actually joining us next week, which is going to be a fun episode. But until then, obviously, just a massive thanks, yes, again, to Third Down Space for powering up this episode of the Top Loader Podcast. For all your hobby needs, do go and check out their website and use TTP10 at checkout or use the link in our bio for 10% off everything. And if you are heading to a card show, make sure you reach out to them first because they actually do a click and collect as well, which is always handy to save on waiting for the postman to attempt to deliver it and then having to go to the sorting office. But I'm not having a rant about Royal Mail today. But like we say, a massive thanks every single person out there for watching, listening along and engaging in with the content. So hope everyone out there is doing well, staying safe, buying, selling, trading and all of that good jazz. But most importantly, happy hobbying and good night